1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. That's going to be in the New Testament, closer toward the back of your Bible. Y'all pay very close attention to this passage this morning. I expect every one of you to have this memorized by the time the service is over today. I got confidence in you. I think you can do it, though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We'll read the scripture and then we'll pray. Pray constantly. Let us pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for these simple words, this simple command that we see in Scripture. And God, I pray that we would take these words to heart, that we would be those who seek you, dear Lord, who seek you in every aspect of our life, who praise you, dear Lord. I pray that you'd free us from the distractions and the worries and the thoughts of this world, dear Lord. Maybe we came into this place today and our attitudes weren't in a good spot, or maybe we just are worried, or maybe we're angry, or maybe we're just distracted, dear Lord. Whatever it may be, if we have any of those things going on, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us. I pray that your word would speak to us today, dear Lord. I pray that you would take away any pride or any fear that's within me, that I would preach and teach your word in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Because everything that is here today, dear Lord, it has to be for you. So I pray, God, that we just would feel your presence, that you would work in our life through your word today. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Pray constantly. This is a good instruction that Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians. Now, quite literally speaking, I don't think he just means that we are to walk around praying 100% of the time. I mean, that'd be kind of hard. A lot of us pray with our eyes closed. We'd be in trouble driving down the road trying to pray and walking around trying to pray. But the idea is that prayer needs to be a constant part of our life. And I suspect for many of you, you do pray throughout the day. Maybe you have a set time that you pray. You might pray in the morning or you may pray in the evening. And that's good, and maybe even in between those times you find yourself praying. And I find it in my life, probably as I get older, the more I pray here and there. You know, used to growing up, I had a set time, you know, I'll pray in the morning or I'll pray in the evening. But I have discovered that the best time to pray for somebody is when you think about them. The best time to do anything is when you think about it. Because if you don't, you'll find something that's going to distract you. And you'll say, oh, I need to pray for so-and-so. But by the time you go to bed at night, you may forget about that person. It also may be helpful to write it down. I used to not have to write stuff down. When I first started in ministry, people would say, oh, you need to pray for so-and-so. You need to put them on the prayer list. And I could remember it for a week, and I'd put them on there. But nowadays, as soon as somebody tells me, you need to pray for so-and-so, I write it down. That may be a good habit for us to get into, too. Make sure that we remember to pray for those people that we say we will pray for. The best time to pray is when you think about it. Maybe when you're driving down the road. Maybe when you're taking a shower. Maybe when you're laying down in bed. Maybe when you're working. Whatever it may be, there may be occasion to pray. There may be a thought that comes to your mind. Someone that you need to pray for. Or maybe you just praise God. Whatever it may be, prayer should be a constant part of our life. And the question I ask you today is prayer a constant part of your life? Is it a part of your life at all? Maybe it is, or maybe it's not. Maybe there are some of you that don't ever pray. Maybe sometimes for us, if we were to chart out our prayer life, it may kind of line up with when our life is the worst, our prayer life is the best. And maybe the opposite is also true. When our life is the best, our prayer life is the worst. Sometimes I believe we fall into the trap of viewing prayer as nothing more than asking God for something. Now, that is certainly part of what prayer is. God wants us to ask Him. God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to make our request known to Him. But prayer is not simply just God, I need this. God, help me with this. Now, those are parts of prayer. Praise the Lord. We need to ask God for the things we need. We need to ask God for help in our life. But if that's all our prayer life is, then we are missing out on some of the blessing of God. If all we ever do is ask God for things, then we are missing out of the blessing of what it means to have a good prayer life. Our prayer life should not just consist of asking God for the things that we need, but thanking God for the things that we have. Now, we might spend a lot of our time, not physically, but maybe in our mind, thinking about all the things that we don't have and complaining about what we don't have. But maybe it would benefit us if we spent some time counting our blessings, if we spent some time thanking God for the things that we do have. So we ask God for what we need, praise the Lord. But we also need to thank God for what we have. We need to praise God. If you want a good example of what it means to praise God in prayer, then I would encourage you to read the Psalms. You will see some of the most beautiful prayers of praise, calling out to the Lord and recognizing God and who He is, that He's the creator of everything, of the heavens, of the earth, and oh, how He blesses us. And you see beautiful language of that throughout the Psalms. We need to be those whose prayer life is constant, those who are seeking God for what we need, thanking God for what we have, praising God for who He is. And whenever we just take a moment and sit in silence and really begin to seek God and praise Him, it's a beautiful thing. And maybe we don't do that enough. We're too busy, right? It's hard to sit in silence. Everything that is made for us today is made for us not to sit in silence. Everywhere we go, there's noise in our pocket. We got a cell phone that we can't dare turn off or put on silent mode because we might miss something. And so it's constantly dinging. And you have to check it as soon as it dings. You have to. You can't, heaven forbid you wait 5 minutes after it dings. You got to check it right then and there. You think somebody had a fire in their pocket. That thing dings. Oh, I got to get it out as quick as I can. But you know, it's okay for us to put our phone down for a moment. It's okay if it rings and you don't answer it. It's okay if that text message dings and you don't look at it instantly. It's okay, because our world has made it. This is going to shock some of you, but we have made it for thousands of years without cell phones. And we can do okay. I think that's one of the devil's greatest tactics is, boy, he keeps us busy. He keeps a lot of noise in our life. And I think he does that because he knows that perhaps in the silence we begin to reflect. And perhaps when we begin to reflect in the silence is when we really begin to think about our lives and our choices, and our conscience gets the best of us, and we begin to think about God and the things of God and the Word of God. And so the best way to keep us from recognizing who we are and seeking God for who He is to keep us distracted. And I would say that he's done a pretty good job. He has for me. I don't know about you. You may be doing better for me. But those distractions are ever before us, whether it's our cell phones or our jobs or our kids or whatever it may be. There are a lot of things in life, some of which that aren't bad. There are many things in life that aren't bad, but they can become distractions for us and they can draw us from the Lord. But I want to encourage you today. If you don't take time to pause and seek God and praise Him, I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe it's on your back porch when you get home at night. Maybe it's on your front porch when you get up in the morning. Maybe it's on a ride to work. Maybe as simple as saying, hey, this week I'm going to take one day that I'm not going to turn my radio on when I go to work. That I am going to put my phone on silent. That silence, sometimes it's kind of scary, right? Boy, we start thinking about all kinds of stuff. Man, our mind gets overwhelmed. It'll be kind of tough at first. But if we really take the time to pause and to seek God and say, God, This is your time. God, I just thank you. Push all of our wants and our needs and our stresses. Just push them aside for just a moment. Don't forget about them. Just push them aside. And just begin a prayer life that starts with us praising God. With us going down a list of all the ways in which God has blessed us. And thanking God for those things. And rejoicing in God in those things. And just taking a few moments to pause in the presence of God. If you don't do it, you might find that it will change your day. I can almost guarantee you that it will change your day. That if you start your day out pausing in the presence of God and rejoicing in Him, I can almost guarantee you it's going to change your attitude. How we start our day, it changes how our day goes. And what better way for us to start our day than praising the Lord? Don't not bring your requests to Him. Bring them to Him. But we need to have a heart of praise and thankfulness to the Lord. Our prayer life doesn't just need to treat God like He's a genie in a bottle. Like God just sits in heaven all day waiting for us to ask for what we want. He does want us to bring our needs for Him, but we need to recognize that God is so much more than that. He's a God who loves us and cares for us. He is a God who brings us comfort and peace. And often we don't experience that in our life because we are too busy and we are too distracted. And so Paul's instruction here for us is a good instruction. That we need to be constant in prayer. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Prayer makes a difference. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference. I guarantee you, it makes a difference. And you're going to say, well, I prayed about some stuff and it didn't happen. Yeah, well, that's true. We all have. We have all prayed for things that they weren't answered in the way in which we prayed and desired. But I can guarantee you that prayer works. Now, you can look online and you can search, why do we pray? And you'll find a lot of people that say, why we pray? And, oh, well, everything's predestined and God knows you're going to pray for it. And He's already done it, but you still got to pray for it even though. And you'll find all kind of people coming up with all kind of reasons of why we pray. And I'm not going to get into any of that because it doesn't matter. I'll tell you why we pray. We pray because God tells us to. I don't know how God works. I don't know why God works. I don't know the way in which God carries out our prayers and the way in which God hears our prayers and the way He makes all that work together. I don't know how God does it, but I know that God hears our prayers and responds to them. And a lot of you can attest to that today. A lot of you can attest to something that you've prayed for. And some people will say, well, I don't know if prayer does anything. And somebody else will say, well, if prayer doesn't change your situation, it changes you. Well, yeah, it does change you. That's true. But there are plenty of situations in our life that we have prayed and God have done things that are impossible. That could not have occurred any other way. We have prayed for things that nobody else knew about. Things that we thought, this is hopeless. And God would answer those prayers and God would meet those needs. And it's not just a coincidence. It is God hearing when we call out to Him, when we pray to Him. Even Jesus Himself gives us instruction on how to pray. Jesus tells us when we pray, we're to pray in a certain way. Perhaps you've heard the Lord's Prayer or aware of the Lord's Prayer. You can find it in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Boy, that's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? Obviously it is. It's Jesus. It's got to be pretty good. He didn't just make something random up. He said, look, this is how you need to pray. You need to pray by recognizing that God is hallowed or that God is holy. Our Father, God, you are in heaven, the creators of the heavens and the earth, and you are holy. Holy be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is an important part of our prayer life. That when we pray, that we always need to desire the will of God. That we always desire the will of God. Because here's what will happen. If we pray according to our will, and God doesn't answer according to our will, then we become angry with God. But our desire in life should not be our will. Our desire should be to live by the will of God and see that His will is done. And when we pray, even if our prayers are not answered, we still can rejoice. Why? Because we know that the will of God is done. And it is always good. And we can say, God, I asked for this and I prayed for this with all the faith in the world. But God, You did not answer, but I rejoice in You, God. Because even though I thought this was best and this was what I was desiring, God, I rejoice in You that Your will is done. Even Jesus, before He went to the cross, what did He do? He prayed. He said, God, if there is any way to let this pass from me. Jesus knew what was about to take place. He knew He would soon be crucified. And He said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Let this experience that's about to come upon me, let this pass. Let me be freed from it, Father. And that was a beautiful prayer. And that's your prayer sometimes too. There's something that you're up against. There's something that you're struggling with. And you're praying earnestly that God would hear your prayer and answer your prayer. Just as Jesus did. But Jesus ended His prayer by saying, but not my will be done, Your will be done. God, this is my desire. This is my request. I call out to You. But God, more important than what I want in life is what You want in life. And the moment our prayer lives begin to be founded in the will of God, then it's going to help our prayer life to change for the better. When we humble ourselves before God and submit ourselves to Him and say, God, I know that You are the one who is in control. I know that You are the one who hears my prayer. And God, I make my requests known to You. But God, more than anything in this world, I want You to be glorified. I want Your will to be done. Jesus continues on. Give us this day our daily bread. Praise the Lord. That's a request. We've probably made that request to God many times. Sometimes in serious situations, when our daily bread was beginning to dry up, what's Jesus saying? He says, look, you need to go to the Lord for your request. It is the Lord who sustains you. It is the Lord who provides for you. It is the Lord who has given you everything that you had. Did you know that this morning? It is God who has given you everything that you had. And some of you may be saying, nuh-uh, I got up and went to work this week. I worked 60 hours this week. You know who gave you that job? God. You know who created bread? God. You know who made the wheat in the field to make the bread? God. You know who made the dirt to grow the wheat? God. Everything that we have is because God has allowed us to have it. It is God who provides for us. And we need to ask God to provide for us. And we need to praise God when He does. And our provisions may not always be what we want them to be. Sometimes we might have to eat the off-brand Lucky Charms instead of the real official brand. But that's all right. God's good to us. We need to ask God to give us what we need, our daily bread, the things that we need to survive, and we need to praise God when He does. And forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins. That's a good one, right? I suspect that, I don't know this is true, but I'm going to guess that probably every one of us sin every day. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that you sin every day, but I think it's safe to assume for most of us, if not all of us, that we do. And praise God, through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Now, that's good news. A lot of times we walk around and, man, we feel the burden and the pressure and the pain and the shame of our sin. And did you know that maybe the relief from that for you is praying to the Lord? Have you done that lately? Have you brought your sin before God and said, God, I pray to you now and I know that I've sinned. Would you just forgive me for that, dear Lord, through Jesus Christ? Have you tried that? It's the simplest thing, and it's something that we all know, but sometimes the things that we all know, we kind of forget about. Sometimes we battle and struggle against our sin, and maybe the peace that you need is just a prayer away. Maybe you come into this room today with a lot of burden in your life, a lot of sin in your life. I want to tell you today that Jesus says we need to pray to the Lord that our sins would be forgiven. And the second half of that command is as follows. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So God, forgive me for my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. That's a tough command. Not only are we praising God, not only are we thanking Him for what we have, not only are we praying for the things that we don't have, not only are we seeking forgiveness, but we are also forgiving other people who have wronged us. Some of you, y'all was good to go up till we got to that point. That's the tough part, right? That's the tough part. Because, man, we love to feel that peace and that joy of forgiveness. But it tears us up to give it to somebody else. And a lot of times we will hold on to bitterness and we will hold on to anger and it will tear us up. And maybe that's the source of some of your pain, some of your strife, and some of your just hatred that you've got today. Is that somebody has wronged you. And people do wrong us. People wrong us in a lot of ways. I'm talking about some horrible ways. In the same way that we have wronged God. And God forgives us. And God calls us in our prayers to forgive others. You may be burdened down today because you are walking around with unforgiveness in your heart. And I can tell you today, I can tell you that the way to be delivered from that is through prayer. That you would forgive that person. That you would ask God to forgive you. That you would pray for that person. That is the best way. The best way. If you hate somebody, if you hate them with all your heart today, and you just wish horrible things on them, and you don't bear to think about them, and you don't want to see them, if you've got that hatred in your heart today, I can tell you how to fix that. And you said, yeah, I'm going to punch them in the nose. Nope, that's not how to fix it. I can tell you how to fix it. The way you can fix it is to begin to pray for them. And you don't want to do that. You'd rather somebody pour you down with gasoline and light you on fire than you'd pray for them. But essentially, your unforgiveness and your attitude, that is what it's going to do. It's going to burn you up one day. But I can tell you the solution to that. It's prayer. And you may have to grit your teeth, and you may struggle to get those words out, but you need to pray for that person. You need to pray that God would love them, and that God would forgive them, and that God would change their heart, and most importantly, that God would change your heart. If you got hatred like that in your heart, here's your assignment this week. I want you every day to pray for that person you hate. I don't mean just saying, God, pray for that person, I don't like them. I don't mean that. I mean like really pausing for a second and really saying, God, I'm struggling with this. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to like go before God and pretend like, oh God, I really want this person to change. Like God knows your heart. He knows that bitterness and that anger that's in there. And you can be honest with God. He's a big God. He already knows what's in there. And you can say, God, I'm really struggling with this. I don't want to forgive this person. But God, your word tells me I have to. Your word calls me to. So God, I pray for this person. I pray that you would help them and that you would change them. I pray, God, that you would bless them. As hard as it might be to get the words out. And if you do that for a week, you come back to me and you tell me if you still hate them as much as you did. I can just about guarantee you that you won't. The solution to a lot of our problems is prayer. And Jesus, praise the Lord, tells us exactly how we need to pray. He continues on in verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Boy, that's a good prayer, right? Because as soon as you wake up, temptation is before you. Used to, you might have had to leave the house to be tempted. Not anymore. You wake up, your cell phone's right beside you. Anything in the world you can think of to be tempted by is right there within arm's reach. Our temptations are ever before us. And everybody's temptations are different. We're all tempted by different things. Some of you can overcome some temptations, and you can't overcome others, and vice versa. We all have our temptations. So how do we overcome them? We pray that God would help us. Lead us not into temptation, God. Help us to be able to avoid those things. Deliver us from evil. It's all around us. We don't want to give in to those things. We don't want to give in to that temptation. So if you don't know this prayer that Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, then maybe you want to bookmark that. You might want to study that this week. I'd advise you just pray it as Jesus said. Pray it just as Jesus said. If Jesus says, this is how you need to pray, that's a pretty good place to start. And maybe you can use this kind of as a skeleton to guide the rest of your prayer life. That you pray for the things that Jesus says, and you see people and areas in your life that fit into these categories. And maybe there are more specifics that you want to pray for, but Jesus says, this is how you pray. And maybe the way that we pray will have a greater effect on the way that we live than we realize. So what does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? He says, pray constantly. Before that, he says, rejoice always. Beautiful chapter. Y'all should go and read that whole section. It's beautiful instruction right there at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But maybe Paul says we need to pray constantly because of what he said a couple of verses before. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he says this, "And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Now, I don't know about you, but those things are hard to do. Warn those who are irresponsible. I don't know about you. I don't enjoy that. I don't look out at people every day and say, boy, I see him and her and her. And I'm going to just come see y'all this week and say, you're irresponsible. I don't look forward to that command that Scripture gives us. But nonetheless, Paul gives us this command. And Scripture gives us this command. Well, how are we going to be able to carry out the commands of Scripture that are hard? Well, pray about it. That's a good place to start. What's the next thing he tells us to do? He says, comfort the discouraged. Well, that's kind of hard to do too. I mean, we all see people who are discouraged. Have you ever seen somebody who's discouraged and their heart is broken and your heart is broken for them and you just feel so broken, it's just sad and you want to help them and you say, I don't know what to say to them. I want to be there for them. I don't know what to say for them. I don't know how to help them. I don't know what to do. So we just don't do anything. Because we want to do these things that Scripture says, but we don't know how. I can tell you a good place to start. Pray. Say, God, help me to be able to be a comforter to the discouraged. There are people we encounter that are discouraged. Maybe we don't know words to say. Maybe you don't even have to say any words. Maybe your presence is a comfort. It is. I don't know if you know that or not. I can tell you, a lot of times, it's not about what you say. It's just about you being there. People are discouraged. Somebody loves them comes by. Maybe all you need to say is, hey, I see you're discouraged. I love you. And I'm praying for you. The next thing he calls us to is help the weak. All right. Easy command, but it's not always easy to do. How are we going to help the weak? We got stuff to do. Helping the weakest, sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's dirty. Sometimes it's nasty. How are we gonna do this? How are we gonna have the strength to help the weak? I can tell you how. We're gonna pray. We're gonna say, God, I see your word and what it calls me to. And God, I'm kind of afraid to do this thing that's before me. Or I'm too busy to do it. God, make time. We're gonna pray that God would help us to be able to carry these things out. And finally, the last command in verse 14 is, be patient with everyone. Now, we don't have to pray about that because we're all patient with everybody all the time, aren't we? Don't think so. I was in the hospital with somebody just last week, and boy, they were so impatient. I said, you know what they call people that wait on doctors? He said, what? I said, patience. I said, and that's what you need to have right now because you're waiting on a doctor. And we are called to be patient with everyone. Well, guess what? How are we going to be patient with people? Well, I can tell you a good place to start is to pray. Because there are some people that, man, they try your patience. And they may not even be bad people. They may not even be doing bad. It's just some people. And you've got them. You know who they are. I may be one of them in your life. I don't know. There's some people, and they just, when you see them, you get impatient instantly. I can tell you the solution to that. Say, God, I need you to give me patience. God, I need you to give me patience. And I'll tell you the good news. God is patient with us. That needs to be our example and motivation. God is patient with us. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to have eternal life. God is way more patient with me than I would have been. And maybe for some of you too. Maybe that's a good place for us to start. Say, okay, God, I've experienced patience. God, help me to have patience with others. There are lots of commands in Scriptures. This is just one verse, verse 14. But all of these things are things that we probably need some help with. We probably need to pray to God that He would help us to be able to live in such a way. The Scripture are full of commands that are too hard for us to carry out and live out on our own. And so we must pray to God that God would change our heart and that God would change our attitude, that God would give us grace and love and mercy and patience for others as He has had for us. So I don't know what your prayer life is like today. If your prayer life is good, then praise God. Keep praying. If your prayer life isn't good, well, praise God. You come here today and you hear God's word, you hear these scriptures, and you can change your prayer life today. But I would encourage you to praise God for who He is, to thank Him for how He has blessed you, to ask Him for the things you need, to forgive you of your sins, to help you to forgive those who have sinned against you, and to keep you safe from all the temptations in the world. And when we begin to really seek God and ask God for those things and experience who God is and praise who God is, not only does it change us, but it changes things around us. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." To put that in English, when you pray, things change. When you pray, God hears those prayers. So be faithful in your prayers. Be fervent in your prayers. And in all your prayers, pray that the will of God will be done. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for being patient with us and for loving us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who gave his life on a cross so that we could be forgiven. We thank you that Jesus gives us these beautiful instructions on how we are to pray, God. Maybe there are some in this room and their prayer life has just not been very good. Or maybe there are some, God, and their prayer life has been non-existent. But maybe today, for the first time, there are some that are going to seek you, that are going to pray to you, dear Lord. I pray, God, that everybody in this room would know that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that all we have is because of you and through you, dear Lord. So, God, I pray today that we would just rejoice in you first and foremost, that we would acknowledge that you are a holy and good and loving God, and we thank you for that. God, I know there are some that have needs today, God. There are a lot of requests. There's a lot of struggle and a lot of pain and a lot of sickness. And dear Lord, we do pray that you would meet those needs, that you would meet them quickly, dear Lord. But we pray that your will be done. And God, should you not answer our prayers in the way in which we ask, or in the time frame in which we ask, dear Lord, that we do not question you or doubt you, dear Lord, but that everything we pray for your will to be done. God, maybe there are some today that are distracted by the world and the burdens of the world. I pray that maybe even right now, just for a moment, that they would pause, that they would seek you, dear Lord, that they would rejoice in you. God, maybe there are some today and they just need to be forgiven. I pray that they would know that through Jesus Christ that there is forgiveness for their sins. I pray that they would confess them to you right now, dear Lord. Maybe there's some bitterness and hatred and anger in our heart toward others. I pray, God, that you would help us to be able to pray for those that have wronged us, sinned against us, and treated us in such horrible ways. God, that we would just lift them up today, that you'd begin to change their hearts and that you would begin to change our hearts, dear Lord. God, we thank you for these scriptures and these commands. And God, life is tough, but we thank you that you are a God that we can pray to and seek. And I pray, God, that in these next few moments that we would do just that. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody, just remain seated. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Macy's going to play for a moment. We're just going to pause in the silence for just a moment. Maybe there's something in your heart today, and maybe today you want to spend just a moment and pray to the Lord. As Macy plays, now's your chance to pray.